Welcome to Mentor Text for Munchkins.
Hi, and welcome back to the Mentor Text for Munchkins podcast. This is episode 3, and today we're going to explore how you can use Know David in your reading and writing classroom or at home to help inspire reluctant readers and writers and students who are also learning a second language, our English language learners, and even our very, very beginning readers and writers using this great, fun, engaging story to help them get started. Once again, I am Kelly. I am a literacy coach. I've also been a classroom teacher, basic skills teacher, preschool teacher, and a mom of 5. And this podcast and episodes are designed to help you save research time, planning time, and find some great mini lessons to bring back into your classrooms or at home to use with your youngest readers and writers, and to also learn the story behind the story and the inspiration so you can further inspire some of those little readers and writers who are ready to get started and who are out there. So some of you may be thinking, okay, Know David, it's a super popular book. Know David is everywhere. There's a series. We know it's a great book. We know it's a book that kids love. But it's not always considered to be a mentor text. It's used a lot as a read aloud, but it's not always considered to be a mentor text for reading and writing workshop. But it's actually a really fun way to hook kids from the beginning and help them build confidence. So for those listeners out there who are not familiar, the Know David series is about a really squirrely, mischievous little boy, and he looks crazy. He has spiky hair. There's a link to the illustrations on our blog at www.mentortextformunchkins.com, where you can check out his jagged teeth, and he's just out of control, which kids love because it's almost like that inner part of them that just wants to let loose and be the David in the world. So Know David and other books in the series are written by David Shannon. And it's a super fun interactive book because once you've read it once, the text is super simple and the kids are going to want to read along with you and yell back at him. And it's a very reactive story. So it's one of those stories when you read it, kids are going to laugh. They're going to go, oh, as you're reading it to them. So it's a lot of fun. And I enjoy using it each year. So this mentor text is great for pre-K, kindergarten, and first grade, but it can also be used with English language learners in other grades or reluctant writers or students who are struggling getting started because the simple repetitive text shows that a book can be amazing, engaging, and fun, even with just using basic sight words or just using a few words throughout the whole story. So I like to point that out when I introduce the book for writing and reading. As they read through, I say all the time, I'm like, you know, there's not a lot of words in this book, but what makes this a great book? Why is this a book that you enjoy listening to me read to you over and over? And I even ask that with my kids at home because we have shredded copies here. Like, why is this a book that you want to read over and over? It barely has any words. Why? What makes this a book if it barely has any words? And through that inquiry, a lot of times students will be reflective and they'll be like, oh, you know what? Well, I really like the illustrations. Or, you know what? He reminds me of myself or my brother, or the words are simple, but I can read them and I like that I can read them. And that's something you can kind of record their conversations and their input and then bring that into a chart that when we're looking at when we want to create great stories for readers, well, maybe we want to make it relatable or maybe we want it to be a true story where other kids would say, hey, I know what that feels like. Or maybe we want to make sure that we have a repeating line and try that out and see what that feels like. So in the book, Know David, on every page, it's something to the extent of, David, stop. No, David, don't do that. Just different ways of saying it. So that's another great tool to look at. How many different ways can you say no, right? So you could say no, you could say stop, you could say don't, you could say look out. So how we can say the same message in a lot of different ways. And it's a fun thing to do as a partner activity. How many different ways can you say I'm happy? How many different ways can you say I don't like this? or I'm scared. And you can take that language into the writing too. So if you have that student who's really stuck on, I was so, 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 so happy. I was so, 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 so tired. Well, what's another way, like David Shannon, that we can say this? What's another way we can flip this around and say it in a different way? Same message, but a little different vehicle. We're going to get there in a different way. You can even put them into partners and challenge them by giving them a certain type of writing that you see coming up a lot in your class. So for instance, if everyone says, it was great, I liked it, we'll put that on a sentence strip, hand it to a group of partners or a small group. Well, what's another way you could say this? What's another way we can get that same message across? But like David Shannon, we can say it in a few different ways. We're not going to just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And it's a fun activity. And you just keep going back to, this is what David Shannon did. This is what this writer did. And it helps make that connection about the person behind the book, as well as ways they can now use his skills and learn from him as a mentor. So the key, we always say mentor text, but I really feel like they're mentor authors, because we're looking at really the thinking that that writer did behind the story that gave us this great product. So the book isn't the mentor, it's the thinking that the author used. So when we bring that author into reading, into our read alouds, into our writing workshops, it's powerful because they now have this person as a mentor. And then you're there modeling it and talking about it. And that's another mentor for them to look up at. So, and to look for inspiration. So it's a lot of fun with this book. So just to give you a little bit of background about this book and where the idea came from, it's a great story and another reason why I love to use this book with reluctant writers or writers who are just starting out and beginning readers. David Shannon wrote the original manuscript for this book when he was 5. So he had written it at home and he was apparently always being told by his mother to stop doing things. So he could only write at the time the word no, like many kindergartners, and his name, also like many kindergartners or preschoolers. So every page was no David and drew him doing something that he wasn't supposed to be able to do. And the original was actually on bright orange paper. That's what he had started out. So when he grew up, his mom one day sent him this original manuscript he had made when he was a kid as kind of like a joker, like, oh, look how cute this is. I found this. And as he was reading through it, he's like, you know what? This really would be a really good children's book. Like, this should be out there. I think this would be fun to put out there for kids to read. I think they would like it. And it was originally meant to be a one and done, like it was going to be this book. Yeah, I'm going to write a book. Let's see how it goes. And it just became such a hit and spurned so many different spinoffs. So there's David Gets in Trouble, David at School. There's baby board books, David Smells. And now there's the newest release about David and his brother, Grow Up David. So they're so loved and there's so much content that this character can be featured with. That I hope it's a series that keeps growing and growing, because the kids can't, I can't restock them enough on the bookshelves because they keep grabbing them and they fall apart every year and I have to always replace them. So if you are going to use this book, if you're getting it from the library, get a sturdy copy because it's going to go through some wear and tear. And if you're ordering them, keep those bonus points going or thrift stores going to collect as many copies as you can. And just be prepared to have a lot of book tape because the kids love them and it will get worn down fast. So when David Shannon started to create the illustrations for this book, he started to make David look realistic, like a boy today. And then he started to realize that the charm wasn't there anymore. This crazy spiky haired kid wasn't in that story and it kind of lost that feel. So he decided to go back and draw the illustrations the way a kid would. And used some of his original illustration details, such as the pointy teeth, the really spiky hair, the bright colors to kind of create that mood for the story. So right there, you have another great piece to bring in when students go to publish their stories, those districts, or if you're working on this at home, it's nice to save coloring for the end when you're about to publish it so that they have time to add details. It's easier to change things. But you can talk about how colors create a mood, right? So So what colors do you see in this book? And what's the mood of this story? It's kind of crazy. It's kind of loud. When you go to Chuck E. Cheese, is it really calm blue and white colors? Or are there bright colors everywhere because they want you amped up? So you can even have young children think about what colors make you feel like and being really particular and planned in those colors that they're picking to illustrate and to publish their stories. It's a lot of fun. And they'll never look at publishing the same way as they reach for those crayons and markers and colored pencils they've been waiting forever to use in their stories. So most of David's antics were his own as he was a kid. So he likes to think as he's writing his stories and illustrations as making a movie, and he wants a storyline that goes between the pages. This is a great place to go back to the books for rereads. So if you look closely, especially at No David at the end, it shows him walking in with a baseball and a bat. Then it shows this really gorgeous, like, Southwestern vase sitting there. The next thing you know, he's sitting in the corner and there's dirt and a baseball sitting there. This is a great point to stop and say, hey, we know that he was trying to create like a movie going on and that these pages aren't all disconnected. There's some kind of story going on here. What happened? What's connecting between these pages? And you'll have some kids who right off the bat pick up, oh, he played baseball in the house, even though he didn't show it. We can infer, oh, there's that word coming out early in the beginning of the year, that this is what happened. We can use our imagination and what we see in the book to figure out this is why David's sitting in timeout right now. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to introduce inferencing without having to go super in depth. There's another page in the book where he's sitting really close to the TV in a living room that looks like mine about 10 minutes after I clean it up and gives me tremors. And he's staring at a superhero. And then later on, you see him wearing a cape as he's dragging the in between. You see him dragging a blanket. Then you see him with his cape and a mask jumping on his bed. So you can then, again, are these connected? Let's be detectives. Let's see if he connected these pages. What clues do you see? We can infer that he saw this character on TV and decided to go act it out in his bedroom. So there are some great vocab words, even though the words are few. The sight words are great for the kids to pick up on. But there's also, again, there's words like settle down. What does that mean, settle down? Instant. What does that mean? So even though he uses very few words, he's very particular, and they're juicy words and they're interesting words. And it's a nice opportunity to give some vocab points as well. So some of the mini lesson teaching points that you can use for this book for reading workshop, if you're getting ready to plan some lessons out and you're like, okay, where do we go with this? As I said before, it's a great book for sight words and bringing in repetitive text, but it's also a good one for connections that you can come back to later on when you start really getting into comprehension work or during an interactive read aloud, where you're talking about comprehension work, because a lot of children are going to be able to connect to David. So one teaching point could be how readers use their background knowledge and put on a character's shoes and connect to how they may feel or think during the events in his story. So David wears these great cowboy boots, and you can really say to them, hey, let's put on our David cowboy boots. If we were standing in his boots right now, what would we feel like? What would we be thinking? What would we be saying to ourselves? How do you know that that's probably what he's feeling or thinking? Well, have you had something like this that's happened to you before? We're going to imagine and put on the character's shoes. And then how there's sensory details in there to help visualize and create a movie in their mind. So those are those missing pieces. We don't have every single piece that shows him breaking the vase, but we can create that movie. What would that look like if we use the details in the book so far? Can you picture it? Can you picture what it would sound like? What it would feel like? Even you want to get real specific. What do you think that plant and all that dirt smells like coming in there? So how do you use their senses to really make that mind movie and visualize beginning in the year? This is a great book for using a reader's voice, because you can even read it one time like, no, David, I said no. And does that sound like a storytelling voice? Do you think that's how David Shannon meant for this to be written? And then read it with your reader's voice and have them echo you back. And they're going to memorize this book so quickly that they're going to join in even when you don't want them to as you're reading it aloud. And how characters can give us an idea about their traits just by looking closely at their actions. So because there's not a ton of text to weigh the kids down in this story, it's really, and the illustrations are huge, you can really do a lot of focus work on characters for this as well too. So you can really look at, okay, so David's doing this. So this tells me he is like this, or I think David is like this because he does this. So they can really get specific by looking at the things he does and what that makes them think about him, and how there's those details in the illustrations to help tell a story. Again, having them go back and look really closely at those details. This is a great book for tracking print. So if you're conferring or using this for guided reading, it's a simple book for students to touch each word as they read. It's a simple book for you to model touching each word as you read it to them as well. And looking for letters they know, because the words are so big. That could be a mini lesson in the beginning of the year. What are some letters you know? What are some letters you see? Can you practice their sounds? Getting them not just focusing on the images, but also really looking at the words that are in there too, because they are simple and they are easy to memorize. And we want to bring their eyes down to that and have them look at those words as well too. And then how can you compare and contrast a character through a series of books, right? So readers like to read a series of books. Once you find a character you love, you want to read more. You want to know more about him. You want to know, is he going to be like this in every book? Or suddenly are we going to pick up a book and David's like this super, super well-behaved angel student? And how can you predict what he's going to be like based on the other books that we've read? And there's so many in this series, and they are so engaging and they're all fun, that this is going to be a big hit. You're probably going to want a No David basket if you can swing it, even if you have to beg, borrow, and steal for a few months. And it's a great basket to have a student draw the label for, or all the students draw a label for and find a way to stick them around the basket, because they can make David. He's designed so that kids can recreate him. And even a quick Google search online of kids drawing David, you're going to see hysterical interpretations of him all over the place. And it makes a really fun basket and gives the kids ownership over that in the library as well. So a great place to bookmark it, as I said before, is the part with the baseball. That's a great place to go back and talk about inferring and how David Shannon didn't just tell us what happened. He's showing us through the illustration. So it's one of my favorite places to bookmark, as I mentioned before, for a reading, read aloud point, to stick that post in and say, you know what, I have to remember before I read this book that this is a part I really want to get in deep and look at with the kids. So it's hard sometimes when you're in the thick of it to plan out where you're going to stop and think. So it's always a good idea to stick a post-it in the place where you want to stop and think, because it'll remind you, oh, that's why I wanted to read this book, or this is what I was hoping to get at. Because sometimes our kids can get us off track. They all raise their hand. They're all excited, especially with a book like this. They all notice something, and you can kind of lose your way of what was my point, or what was it I was going to focus on. So just having even just a post-it with nothing on it, I like to do that because it brings me back, especially because I'm really easily distracted. I find like it's a good way to get me back on track and make sure I'm sticking to my teaching point, or that I'm remembering to get to this part, because it's a really, really powerful part where I can get a lot of content and a lot of lessons out of it that will help them as well too. Now for writing, you can have them try on David Shannon's hat and use character voices in their story. Like, how would a mom sound? How would your dad sound? How would your teacher sound? Really thinking about what these people sound like. What are things they say all the time? David Shannon thought about how his mom was always saying, no, David. What's something you hear your parents saying? Careful, you don't want to go into dangerous territory with this. That's appropriate to put in our books that we can share in there. What would be their catchphrase? And how can you write that in different ways? So it's a fun way to bring that mini lesson in. Also, this is a great book for, especially if you have emergent writers who are still really in that picture phase, or they're not really comfortable making a lot of scenery yet. It's a great book for using facial expressions to show feelings. So maybe they can't write feelings yet. They can't label them yet. They're still learning the letters and the sounds, but they can draw them. And for English language learners, again, this is the physical face is a universal language. So it's a great way to say, you know, what would your face look like? Can you show us in your face? even little things like how his mouth changes, his eyebrows, the size of his eyes, that this gives us an idea of what he's feeling without the author even having to tell us. It's a super fun lesson. You get great results from the kids when they try this out, especially if you model it with your own story and kind of go outside the box of not just showing an upside down frown or a smile, but really going into like squiggly mouths or open mouth surprise or a big laughing mouth. What does that look like? Or angry eyebrows. You can even give kids a mirror and have those in your writing center, plastic maybe, so you don't have to worry about them shattering, and have them play around with their own face as they're creating the facial expressions in their pictures. What do you look like when you're mad? Really, really look at it. This is a fun mini lesson activity in itself. You could do this over a couple days and have the kids sit with a partner and really study what their face looks like when they're mad or sad or whatever feelings it is they want to bring into their own stories. You can also have them think about how they can write with just one character's thinking. So in this case, a lot of times the kids think it's David just because he's on every page. But going back to another reading workshop lesson you could do, who's telling the story? So we see David on every page, but is that who's saying no David? Who do you think is telling the story here? And you can confirm that with at the end when the different characters interact with him. And why doesn't David Shannon show the face? What do you imagine the face of the mom being, or the teacher, or the brother? Why do you think he doesn't include those faces in there? It's always like an interesting point to go in there and have them have a discussion about as well too. So now who's going to tell your story? Is it you telling the story? Do you want to pretend to be a family member, a friend, a sibling in your own true story? Who's going to tell your story? And plan that out when you go to write today. It's a great one for using punctuation to create feeling, to show them like an exclamation point. This is a common misconception. A lot of kids think an exclamation point, and I find this coaching all the time, means they're supposed to yell. Like if you're like, okay, there's an exclamation point, go, what does this sound like? They all start yelling so loud. So he's telling them, it doesn't always mean like a volume button. Like the exclamation point isn't like, hey, we're going to rev you way up into stereo. It means more like we're going to put feeling into it. So you can have feeling without yelling even. So for instance, when I'm on the phone and I see Patrick doing something that I know he's not supposed to do and I don't want to make a lot of noise, I have this exclamation point that comes out when I'm talking to Patrick. I'll be like, stop, like that. And even though I'm quiet, there's an exclamation point after that because I'm using a lot of feeling. I'm telling him, stop, without being really, really loud. I'm putting feeling behind it. So Patrick, by the way, is my toddler, not my husband, in case you were wondering. I'm not yelling at him to stop while I'm on the phone. So it's a great lesson to bring in for how do you use that exclamation point effectively and without yelling. And also how you can now take those mini lessons we talked about before, how do you use different words to say the same thing, and how you can end a story. This is a great, great book, as simple as it is, to look at how to end a true story or a story like that, a personal narrative. Pretty much, and you're going to hear this often on the podcast, most beginning writers start with, and then I went home, and then I went to bed, and that's it. That's all they wrote. That's their ending of the story. But when you look closely at David Shannon's books, they always end with like a lesson learned, a feeling, a change that happens. There's even a change in his face. We looked at recently David, Grow Up David, and we talked about how his facial expression is completely different at the end of the book in the last few pages than it is at the beginning. There was a change. What happened? So they can bring that into their own writing. What was a change that happened to you during this story? How did your feelings change? Or what were you feeling during this story that you're writing about? Stay in your moment. Don't leave. Stay there. David's still playing the football game. David's still in the house. David's still in the classroom getting ready to go home. Don't leave your story. Stay in that setting and kind of think about how you can bring a feeling into it. And it's a nice concrete way to help students end their books. And it matches back with using facial expressions and reading with feeling. The word feeling can go through all these mini lessons from reading workshop into writing workshop too. and how there's a message behind this story. And you could send a message like, yay, sometimes I mess up, but my parents still love me. Or sometimes I don't want to eat a new food, but I really like it. Or sometimes I try a scary ride and it winds up being a lot of fun. Or I learn I really hate scary rides and I'm never ever going on one and trying one again. So they can have that same purpose with their own stories as well too. So I hope that you have the opportunity to use this book with some of your young readers and writers, because I know, and there's very few books I would say, I know this is going to be a hit. It's going to be a hit. And I also feel strongly in my heart that it's a great hit with not only pre-K students, kindergarten and first grade, but also with English language learners, because there's so much story in the illustrations. And I've worked with a large amount of students who are English language learners in even the higher grades who have really enjoyed these books because the storyline is engaging, the character is engaging, and they're not always finding that with some of their early level books, especially the older students. They want something that's funny. They want something that's interesting. And David provides that. So a thumbs up to David Shannon. This is a hit for a reason. I hope the series continues to grow. And I also hope that you join us on our next episode as we explore our next mentor text. In the meantime, if you'd like the show notes that go with today's episode, you can go to the blog, www.mentortextformunchkins, and click on the podcast tab, and that will link you to the show notes for this podcast episode, as well as you can visit my store, Teachers Pay Teachers, the Mentor Text for Munchkins store on Teachers Pay Teachers, where for free, you can download the PDF version of the show notes to make it look neat and pretty. And you can add them to the free Mentor Text for Munchkins binder kit resource, where you can tab this with a number of units, connections, retelling, character studies, personal narratives. And I hope that you get a lot of wear with this book and a lot of tape, because you're definitely going to need it once it gets into your students' hands and your young readers. So as always, always keep a book by your side and a story in your heart. And please feel free to leave a review if you enjoyed today's podcast to help keep this free content coming and bringing more lesson planning ideas for parents, teachers, and just readers at heart who want to know more ways to use books to engage students, their young readers, and to learn the stories behind some of these great tales that are out there. Thanks again.